I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's the 10 crack commandments. 1.
Man can't tell me nothing about this. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry's out, Nick's in. That means Trey in for Nick, and he's got a question for Mario coming up. But before we get to that, we did have some breaking news that we want to get to and get it out to you. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, Trey, do you want to be big time and hit that button?
Let me find it.
Okay. See, you even you got excited.
Turnover,
and then you drop the ball. According to Trey, I'm waiting for you to find it. Hopefully, before we verify this,
Schefter tweeted it.
Is it the official Adam Schefter?
Yeah, I get
it. It is official. 41 minutes ago.
41 minutes ago, Adam Schefter is reporting the NFL draft has been canceled.
Postponed.
Okay. So essentially to me, that means if you're postponing the draft, when you got to get guys into mini camps and things like that, you're probably going to do it online or do something like that. Because it's supposed to be a big deal in Vegas. So we'll see what the official announcement says from the NFL when we get it. We'll give it to you. The information, we wanted to get that information out to you before we go any further with our special guest, Mario Elie, who's going to stick with us a little bit longer here before you got to go. Right?
Bummer, yeah. I'm about to draft. I want to see who.
The Giants can't screw it up again.
I guess it makes sense considering they're like canceling all the buffets and the casinos in Las Vegas that they postponed.
Yeah, Nick said that
yesterday. They're closing. They closed down all the
buffets.
But it starts this Sunday, I believe. It was MGM, Aria, Bellagio, and a few other casinos that are all shutting down their.
It makes sense from a standard. Well, you and I were talking about just Sweet Tomato and places like that locally.
Yeah, I love
but
that
it makes
spot.
Sense.
And they're pretty clean, but still. There's a lot of people putting their hands in that stuff, man.
All right, so Trey's got a question for you, Rio.
Sorry.
Go ahead. This ought to be interesting.
So, you know, the Nets recently just got rid of their head coach, Mr. Kenny Atkinson. And there's a certain assistant in Los Angeles who is a certain assistant and assistanting.
Can you just say his name? We're not hiding it.
Jason Kidd. Could you see Jason Kidd possibly taking over in Brooklyn and they go for a run for Giannis here in 2021?
Wasn't he there already? I don't think they go rewind that again.
But when Trey asked me this, and I said it would be a good question for you because you know Jay Kidd and you worked with him in Dallas. But the conflict that he had when they did the mutual thing was a different ownership group. So maybe that you take that into consideration. They got a new owner in Brooklyn. And obviously, the way it all went down, it seems as if KD and Kyrie are going to make that call. So if they like him, maybe he's considered. I don't know.
You're looking at the wrong LA assistant coach. To me, it's Ty Lue because Ty Lue has a relationship with Kyrie. Ty Lue is a championship level coach. Ty Lue had to handle LeBron James. You know, that's a lot to offer. When you get LeBron James on your team, that's a lot to deal with when you have a player that
great
caliber.
Call.
And there's another guy on that Clipper bench also who should get some love for some head coaching gig. It's Sam Cassell, Darwin Ham, Popeye Jones. There's some great assistant coaches out there that deserve a shot instead of us recycling
Trey.
These guys.
And let me get to Trey.
That's those are the two assistants I'll be looking at.
Yeah, and the other thing was, depending on who you talk to, when J. Kidd had his opportunity with Giannis, Giannis seemed to be in his camp, but also J. Kidd had a lot of character flaws that went against him with the way he used a lot of psychological warfare and things with the player. So it would be interesting to see how that played out. And by the way, Giannis isn't going anywhere. He's staying in Milwaukee.
You hope so.
I do hope so. You're right. You're absolutely right. Okay. So with that being said, as we look at the landscape going forward for the rest of the season in the NBA, anybody that, you know, is it going to be the two LA teams in the West? Does it look like it's going to be the two LA teams? The thing to me is when we were talking about when you take a seven-game series and you have a coaching staff, the same way that James Harden's going to see double teams and a totally different defense, Giannis is too. And I've said to these guys, I'm from there, but I'm not a firm believer the Bucks can get to the finals because I think when against a tough matchup with good talent, they'll take the ball out of his hands and make the rest of the team beat you. And I don't think that between Bledsoe and Middleton, they're superstar calibers that can carry the load.
Yeah, there's two teams that's under my radar that you need to watch out for. Toronto Raptors, who have that championship pedigree. They got a team full of 6'7", 6'8", guys who can switch, who are athletic. Great leadership in Kyle Lowry. He's playing outstanding basketball. Even with Fred VanVleet injured, you know, they still playing at a high, high level. And they defend. That's what I really like about the Raptors. And my West Coast team is Chris Paul and the Thunder. Yeah. I mean, they got three guys who can literally break you down in Shai Gilgeous, Chris Paul, and Dennis Schroeder. Big man knows his role down there. Nerlens Noel does a good job. So they're going to be a tough out, man. They're going to be a tough out because that guard play to me in the playoffs is really, really going to be key. So watch out for those sort of those two teams who can be a problem in the playoffs.
I've been kind of preaching that all year about the Rockets and my fear of what they can do in the postseason. So you're of the belief that the standard at considering the two stars that are on the roster right now is the Western Conference Finals. That nothing short of a Western Conference Finals appearance is acceptable.
Yeah, we've been through that dance before. We have high expectations here in Clutch City. So, you know, we got two MVP players. Not just one. We got two MVPs on one team. So we have high expectations here. If they don't get to the Western Conference Finals, I feel they just need to be a couple tweaks. Whether it's coaching, front office, players.
So you're with me. Harden needs to go. You keep Westbrook. You build around him. I'm just asking if we're on the same page.
I don't know. Wow. That's
a bold statement, huh?
That is a bold statement.
I mean, look, here's the thing. And I'm going to say this, and people may agree or disagree. P.J. Tucker wears 17, and it chaps my ass because I think P.J. Tucker is a workhorse. But I think, one, it should have been 17 should have been retired already. But, two, the fact that you should be compared more in terms of what you bring from a tenacity standpoint, from a leadership standpoint with Russ. Because the one thing that impressed me, I've been a Russ fan. I just didn't think it was going to work out here. Watching him play and how hard he plays night in, night out, and how he makes guys around him better has impressed me more than anything else. And that's what you used to do in the fact that the JYD mentality, the junkyard dog, was I'm going at you, and you're not my – I hate all this huggies and with buddies on other teams. When he crosses the line, nobody's your friend, but he's the guys in the same uniform, and that's what I think they lack in a lot of ways.
And that's what I love about Russ. That's why I've always been a Russell Westbrook fan. It's the edge he plays with, and he went down the lane. I think he turned it over or something in the game yesterday. He came down the lane, just crossed up. I don't know, was it – who was guarding?
It was D'Lo.
Russell went down there and dunked it. And he's just screaming and cussing. I just love that about Russ. That got beat chill. That's how you approach the game. Like you said, Joe, when you go between the lines, it's war, man. It's war out there, man. When I knew I used to have to guard Jordan, Grant Hill, and these guys, I tell people, don't call me. I got to focus. I got to get my rest. I got some hard work to do tonight, you know. So that's how you got to approach the game. You got to play with the edge. You got to play with some energy. And guys feed off of Russ's edge.
I feel like, you know, something we always hear when the three-point shot is not falling for the Houston Rockets, people say, well, they need to attack the basket. They need to attack the basket. And I feel like sometimes they do a pretty good job of it. We know Westbrook does an incredible job of it. Outside of attacking the basket and outside of playing defense, where else can this team excel? Or particularly on offense, without the three-point shot, without attacking the basket, how can this team excel offensively?
Mid-range is good, too. Mid-range shots are good. Twos are good. Twos are good. I know a big part of the offense is getting to the free throw line. That's the one thing Harden does bring to the table. It gets the team into the penalty quick because he draws a lot of fouls. But, I mean, mix the game up. You know, transition. Try to get some stops. Get some stops and get some easy baskets. We tend to take a lot of tough shots, you know, contested shots at the goal, contested three-pointers. When you play D and have a consistent defense and create turnovers, you can get maybe 10 to 14 points, easy baskets, just in transition. We seem to struggle sometimes in the half court. We attack sometimes, help, swing the ball good, then another attack, boom, boom, boom. You start getting into the clock. You know, you guys start getting into the clock. And you sometimes rush into bad shots. You know, come off it. If the dude's playing off, he shoot a nice mid-range
But I think you
shot.
Hit a key, Mario. And I think that it's hard for James Harden to accept the fact that they can be a better team if the ball is moving and it's not sticky and it's going, you know, to the open man as opposed to dribbling the air out of it for 19 seconds and then hoping something good happens.
Yeah, and then when you dribble the whole clock, then you come off to help. You give the guy the ball with 2 seconds. He's not in rhythm because he ain't touched the ball the whole possession. Move the ball around a little bit. Let anybody get a feel. We know you can always get it back, James, at the end of the shot clock. That's why you give it to the James. Let him bring the ball up. Let him initiate the offense. Let somebody else. Let Russ is the point guard. Let him bring him up. And we can get James the ball in the half court. That's going to preserve his energy. You allow people to pick James up full court. And guys know the game plan now. Let's pick James full court and wear him out. Once he come over half court, sometimes they send a double team. Then he gives the ball up and stand. And I'm with you, Joe. Get a ball up. Be Steph Curry. Be Klay Thompson. When them guys get a ball up, these guys move constantly, always re-spacing. That's why those guys are always hard to guard. To me, it drives me crazy because it's pretty easy to guard James Harden. Once he gets up the ball, if you guard a great player, deny him the ball back. A lot of guys allow James to get the ball back. I don't understand that half the time, but when you're guarding him, and you mentioned that during the playoffs, they're going to be doubling him. They're going to be denying the ball back. And when you don't move the ball, you can't trust your teammates.
Man, that's got to be one of the most frustrating things about James Harden, because this is another year where he has another ball handler on the team. And it frustrates me when when you're in a situation where he's not the main ball handler, he's not bringing the ball up, he's not invested in the play. And you know, Jalen Rose made reference to this with Chris Paul. When Chris Paul, especially late in the season and in the postseason, when he was running the play, he felt like James Harden wasn't invested. And that drives me so crazy. Who approaches James? And the front office, coach, who's going to do this? Like, who should do this at this point? Because I feel like that's a discussion that needs to be had at some point.
Well,
he's doing when he doesn't have the ball.
It should be coaches. It should be teammates. It should be everybody. You know, in order for the Rockets to succeed, everybody has to be involved, especially when you're going small. You know, you go depend on those guys to get 70, 60 points every night. I don't think so. I think they can do a one or two games in the series. But to ask them guys to do that consistently with them guarding bigger guys in the playoffs, they let you play more physical. These guys are going to get worn down. When you get worn down, what happens, Joe? You got no legs on your three-point shot. And what happens when you got no legs on your three-point shot? Misses.
Short.
We've seen the Rockets go 7 for 44, 0 for 27. We've been shooting previously these bad three-point shooting games, and I got to hear the same thing. Oh, we just ain't make shots. It got to be more than that. What is the adjustment? That's always been my thing with D'Antoni. What is the adjustment when you make no shots? Defend, post up James, maybe a little more, work the offense inside out. Got to be something. It can't be just we ain't make shots. So that gets old to me.
It's not just D'Antoni, fellas. There's one other thing we tap into before he taps out, because he's got to go. We'll get one more segment with Mario, but there's something I want to bring up, because we've been pretty good about obviously stating the obvious that D'Antoni's on a short leash and he's got to get to the conference finals at least, right? But there's other guys that have to start taking some of this blame. And we've mentioned a little bit of James, but as Nick brought up, someone's got to be able to discipline James, too, or get him to correct some things, and that could be an issue, too. We'll talk about that as we wrap it up with Mario Elie in the next segment. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. mate.
To all the teachers that told me I'd never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
Yeah.
And to all my people in the struggle, you know what I'm saying?
So, baby.
It was all a dream.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry out, Nick in, Trey behind the glass, and one more segment with our man Mario Elie talking NBA hoops and obviously with a Rockets emphasis today. By the way, Nick's a Tupac guy. I'm a Biggie guy.
It was all a dream.
Biggie's amazing. I don't know if you want to break
both
the tie.
Amazing.
Yeah, but they're both good. Yeah. On a way back Wednesday, and obviously we've told you that we're in honor of Biggie. All songs are either collaborations or his songs as part of a way back Wednesday. Barry did do his list. He'll get his in hour number three. I wanted to get to this because Nick brought up a great point about who's going to be the one that's going to be able to corral James Harden and tell him you got to stop doing that dribble stuff. The thing that's interesting to me, it gets down to the blame game. We all know D'Antoni's on a short leash. Daryl Morey's going to have to face the music sooner or later because Daryl Morey started this whole trend that was very frustrating for guys like you, guys that played in the league, paid their dues as an assistant coach, and suddenly the GM's not only going to hire a head coach, he's going to tell that head coach who you can have as assistant coaches and pick some of them. And we know that a lot of times when a guy got a job, he had his offensive guy, he had his defensive guy, he had his veteran guy that could be the guy that could go, like, there's no doubt when you win SAC or you with Avery in Dallas, there was no doubt in my mind that either one of those head coaches could go, Rio, go talk to Dirk. Rio, go talk to Jay Kidd and see if you can. We got to get him to do this or got to do that. Some coaches don't want to be that guy. They're not confrontational. Van Gundy was a guy like that. But then he puts a guy on his staff that can go and get that job done. It's a very fine line, and it's a difficult situation when you're a head coach, you didn't pick the assistants, and you don't know if that guy could do what you need someone on your staff to do and have a tough conversation with your best player.
Yeah, it's a different era we're in than when I coached. You know, when I coached, the head coach knew who he wanted on his staff. He handpicked guys he can trust and gave them specific roles. And now, nowadays, you just mentioned it, Joe. You broke it down perfectly. You know, when you hire a coach, the front office wants to hire the assistants also. And I don't know if that builds good camaraderie on the bench. You know, a lot of teams are doing that. And there's, like, so many guys on the bench right now. I'm like, you got four guys in the front, see four guys in the back. So you got so many damn coaches, you know, on the bench right now. I think it's hard to get good chemistry. And especially, you know, D'Antoni's guy from a school where, you know, when he got a job, he brought his guys in. I think a guy like him should be able to pick his own coaches rather than if you hire a younger coach who's sort of first on his job. I sort of understand that dynamic when you want to pick his coaches. But when you got a veteran coach like D'Antoni who's won and been successful, you should allow him to pick the guys he is comfortable with. So,
and this is his second round of coaches. Yeah. He had Roy Rogers. He had Jeff Bezdelic. Now suddenly he's got the throwback, the carryover for all of these in Brent Gunning. But then he gives him Elston Turner. He gives him Matt Braze, who coached in the G League, who's Lute Olson's grandson. But the same way a team has to have chemistry and trust, the coaching staff has to have that same chemistry and trust. And if the front office is picking the guy, there's always the assistant coaches that came with the coach going, I don't know if I can trust that guy.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. And I'm hoping the Rocks didn't get it straight. But you're right. You got to have chemistry on the sideline. You know, you got to have – and you got to hold players accountable. You know, I think you got to hold some of these players accountable. If they're not getting the job done, you got to let them know. You know, so I don't know if that's happening, you know. I know star players get star treatment sometimes, but in order for your team to get successful, move on, you got to allow yourself to be coached. I played with the great Hakeem Olajuwon. I played with the great Tim Duncan. Both those guys, you know, allow themselves to be coached. Rudy would get on Dream. Popovich would get on Tim Duncan. But when you see your best player, you know, being coached like that and accepting coaching, it trickles down to the rest of the squad. So, hopefully, somebody on that bench that just can get to Harden. Harden is a tremendous talent, but we need him to play both ends of the floor and to lead this Rocket team, because to me he's the best player, and the best player usually leads.
I mean, the reality is it's never easy to approach a multimillionaire NBA player, let alone an NBA superstar. I mean, I'm sure it's not as easy to approach a LeBron or a Paul George, but to their credit, most people would make the argument that they play a little bit of defense and they see the floor a bit differently. I mean, I also don't think it's in Mike D'Antoni's nature. I could be wrong. Maybe he had a history with that when he was with the Suns with Nash and Shaq and all that, where he was able to talk to guys, superstars like Shaq, and really get onto him. I just don't feel like that's in his nature. And I also feel like that's going to happen when the entire season is on the line. It's, you know, they're down three games in the postseason. They're about to lose their fourth. And now it doesn't really matter about feelings, right? Now I can start yelling at you and stuff like that because the season, we might be going home. And I feel like that's when it's going to happen. How do you feel? Do you feel like that's the nature of this team?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a proponent of playing big, so I'm still trying to put my hand around this small lineup, how it's going to work in the postseason. Because I played. I was on the original small lineup with Don Nelson, who was the originator of small lineup. I remember starting in the playoff game. I'm 6'4". I'm guarding Terry Cummins in the first round of the playoffs. He's 6'9", 260. I'm like, I was just going to work. But it did. You know, we had Chris Mullin. We had Mitch Richmond. We had Tim Hardaway. We had some tough-minded, very grimy leaders and players who got it done. We were able to do that. So I'm still out. The jury's still out about this small lineup. But we mentioned it early, Joe, in the playoffs, when you go against these big teams – and you get, like I always say, you can't give good teams. Rebound is key, man, in basketball, man. Whoever controls the backboard is going to control a series. So Rockets with that small lineup, I just don't see him controlling the backboards, and I think that's going to hurt them at the end.
Yeah, I think you're right, and that's what I've said all along. I've said to these guys constantly, look, I'm rolling with them regular season. They're going to stockpile some wins.
Exactly.
They're going to be exciting to watch. They're relevant again. But come playoffs, it's a different animal for me because I've seen it. I lived it. I've been there, and I've done that. And I know that this team doesn't seem to have – because you said the really interesting thing that people need to pick out of what you just said, which is there's no denying the talent of James Harden, but does he have that grime? Does he have that toughness? Does he have that kind of FU mentality of, I'm the leader of this team, and we're going to go take it to you, and I'm going to do this, and you're going to do that. You're going to see me do this, so you're going to want to do that. I haven't seen that from him, and the playoffs especially.
I want to see Rockets down 3-1, and James Harden by himself wins three games in a row and propels the Rocket. That's a playoff Harden I want to see. An Olajuwon, that type of performance, going against the MVP, David Robinson, and performing at the highest level. That's what the great ones do. When the moment's at its biggest, you got to perform at your highest. You know, Durant did it. LeBron did it. Jordan did it. You know, we know Harden during the regular season. 38-39, outstanding. And it's always going to be the question with him, postseason Harden. What are we going to get from postseason Harden? So I want to see them down 3-1, Harden averages 38, shoots 40% from the three and brings them back. And if we see that Harden, I think the Rockets
are. We're tired of seeing Nerf balls. We want to see those David Stern game balls.
Yeah, we want to see them when, you know, Harden had them rolls when he was averaging 30 and 40 points.
Yeah.
We need that in the postseason.
Whether Spalding's tattooed on him or not, I want to see the game balls, not the Nerf balls.
Absolutely.
Mario always bringing the game balls. We appreciate you, brother.
Always
make sure you stay loyal to the suspects. You. ESPN,
absolutely.
We love you.
Thank you so much for stopping by,
no
sir.
No problem. I like
Mario
the old
Ellie.
School Rocket hat back there.
I appreciate
like that too.
It.
There you go. Trey behind the glass, loving him. Some Mario Ellie in studio today. We'll be back with the second half of the show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Who knew school need to learn, though? I burn, baby, burn like disco inferno.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the Usual Suspects, second half of the show. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Nick is here for Barry. That means that Trey is in for Nick, and I'm still here.
All the way until 4 o'clock, Barry's start, back on Monday.
Don't you start pulling that James Harden on me either.
Hey, look,
I'm
felt
still
like I
here.
Was...
Everybody else is changing, so what's the one consistent? I'm still here.
Hey, I feel like I've been pretty honest considering I'm a Houstonian and a Rockets fan. Like a legit local Rockets fan. I feel like I'm being pretty honest. Here's a tweet. I mean, a text I feel like that you would appreciate from the 832 in reference to the Rockets. The problem is Harden is nowhere near Olajuwon's league. I think you would agree with that sentiment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Another one from the, let's go to, let's see here. So we did the 832. I feel like someone's deleting these, man.
Well, I haven't touched them. Trey likes to dabble in the text messages. Just be careful of that.
I'm not deleting them. I'm just looking at the deleted items.
We
item.
Did announce that the NFL draft has been postponed.
Oh, yeah. So someone said, hey, I think you guys read the Adam Schefter's tweet wrong, and it's not canceled. No, we said it was postponed. We know it's postponed.
They made that change.
I made the mistake of saying I questioned it. Said it with like a question mark going canceled, and you guys said no, postponed. And I said, well, maybe they'll do it online. So we'll see what happens there. And because we were talking coronavirus before Mario came in, and again, shout out to Mario. We always appreciate. He's so loyal to us, and he's always willing to come in. So we appreciate him being in here. But before Mario got in here, we were talking coronavirus. How about this, fellas? We just talked about the NFL draft. Now Mark Stein is reporting that the Warriors have just issued an official statement confirming that Thursday night's game at Chase Center against Brooklyn will be played with no fans admitted.
So I feel like that might be a similar situation for the Rockets, right?
It could be coming. Now, the Rockets are on the road. They got the Lakers on Thursday night. Then they go to Portland. Their next scheduled home game is St. Patrick's Day night against the Cavaliers. I told you guys, the Board of Governors is having a conference call today. This could be the first sign of what's to come in the NBA. If the Warriors are going to play a game without fans in the building, you can't possibly think they're going to be the only ones.
No, and look, they're willing to forego all the money that might be generated in these games. You know, some of these, like for the example, the Warriors, according to ESPN.com, they'll average somewhere in the ballpark of $3.6, $3.8 million per game gross. I mean, that's a lot to forget, to forego, but hey, it is what it is. And at least you keep the TV revenue. At least it's not a complete loss, as you mentioned before, Joel. There's still people going to be watching. It might increase the TV ratings. And at the same time, it prevents a lot of people from being in the same spot all at once. And I think the threshold is 1,000 people. So if you are throwing an event and it's anywhere up to 1,000 people, I think the event can still go on once it clears 1,000 people. At least according to San Francisco, they are...
So it's different in different states. Okay. So California, I think you're right. It's in the 1,000 range. State of Washington and any sporting event in Seattle, 250. 250 people is the max.
Wow.
For a group gathering. So it's going to be different. We're going to see all these different things. And again, this is the premier topic in the world right now. So some of you that want to text and tweet and say, can we turn the page and stop talking about this? It's life. It's a matter of life and death in some certain circumstances, but it's a big deal. And it's going to be a bigger deal for sports. Because as we mentioned, these are just the first shoe to drop. There's more coming with the NCAA tournament on the horizon, with the NBA having this meeting today. With everybody, with the draft being postponed, these things are going to start stacking up more and more. It's going to get worse before it gets better, and Lord knows what the solution really is. Because I put on the rundown today, fellas, the one thing that you can at least hold out hope for is there is one report that says the Chinese government and Chinese officials are thinking that they may have a vaccine for the coronavirus by April. I don't know if that's possible, if that's true, but the sooner the better, obviously. But you know what? This is a serious deal that I don't think people are taking serious enough.
Yeah, and I was actually, I forgot who I was talking to about the vaccine stuff, and I was told it takes quite some time. So April would actually feel like a pretty quick turnaround. Am I right? I mean, I'm
well,
not,
you
no.
and I were talking about it. I said the one thing that from people I had heard from said to get a real official vaccine, get it, you know, approved by the FDA and everything, could take up to a year.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard over a year is what I heard. So I don't know. And this was like a medical student. I don't know if, you know, how long it really takes. obviously this has got to be something on the forefront. It's got to be a priority along with all the other priorities they're taking, you know, with, you know, canceling these bigger events. We know the Houston Rodeo is it's going to be shut down officially in what, an hour and 20 minutes?
Yep.
Hey.
That's a shame. I was really looking forward to seeing Lizzo.
When is Lizzo performing?
She was supposed to be Friday night.
Oh, it was Friday?
Yeah.
And see, I'm missing Kane.
Trey's tried to lead me to believe that he's a fan. I knew you were a fan of Kane. Was Kane Brown? Is that your guy?
Oh, yeah, me. I am. Yeah. He also said he was a Tupac guy. He said he's not a big rap fan, but he was a Tupac over Biggie guy.
He's also terrified of you, so he's going to say anything to stay in your good graces.
That's not true at all.
I was for a second.
See? See? And you denied that.
I did deny that. You've never admitted that. You've always said you were never scared of me, Trey.
Not now, but like that one time when I came in and
what
like,
did you do?
I flipped you off.
Oh, yeah. I was going to whip your ass, Trey.
I was worried. I was like hiding in my car. I was like, oh,
no,
man.
You were not. It was not that bad.
He's going to beat me up.
Nope. It was not even close. Not even close. So what was did you also mention the fact that a part of the reason why the toilet paper
shortage. A couple of the listeners texted and appreciate the knowledge. They said the reason why toilet paper is being rationed like hand sanitizer and wipes is because a majority of the toilet paper is manufactured in China. And because of the virus starting out there and having such a huge impact on everybody over in China, that they've shut down a lot of factories where it's produced. So therefore, due to a lack of supply and for the demand, that it's become a bigger deal.
You know your boy Clay Travis? I'm like, I don't know if that's
not
your boy.
My boy. New.
But he's saying, and I he has a reputation, Clay Travis.
Yes, he does.
Some people like him, some people hate him. But he's saying that that China knew about the coronavirus and told medical doctors to shut up.
It's a fact. I've told you guys. I thought I told you this too. It's a total fact that when the coronavirus first became a blip on the radar, it was a doctor in China. He had a huge concern. He brought it to the government. Over there, we know how the government can be. And they didn't want anybody getting scared. They told this guy, basically, you shut your mouth, you're going to be arrested, and the government is going to put you away. So he was trying not to say anything. He contracted the virus. He ended up dying in the hospital.
Ooh.
So I've seen that story. That's a real deal.
That's not cool.
Do you think he died of the virus or the government killed him?
I mean, that's also a good point.
Now we're down the road. I mean, it's possible. Conspiracy type of situation. Like, what's his name? Who apparently hung himself, but a lot of people feel
Epstein didn't kill himself.
Epstein. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
How do you know, Trey?
The cameras stopped working. There was just so many. This is like, it's so crazy. Like, I did a deep dive on it the other day, and it was just...
Your conclusions told you that Epstein was murdered. Is that...
Correct.
Okay.
So the short story, the abbreviated version, is Trey did a deep dive on Jeffrey Epstein.
All right, listen. That's not what
I meant.
Is that
what you just basically conveyed to us?
On the case. I did a deep dive on the case.
Is that what he called it?
Come on, man. It's too soon.
Just asking a question. That's all I was doing. Now, it's interesting, Nick. White Magic had called in earlier, but we had to get to Mario. He hung up. But we hope he calls back because one of his favorites is on the line. Before we go to the break, let's get to Clarence. Clarence wants to talk about the coronavirus. Clarence, what's up, man?
And I thought White Magic actually died from the coronavirus. But anyway.
Well, it's bizarre. Here we go.
Here's an interesting question. We all know what they're talking about with the two leagues so far, well, with the NBA. Now, what happens with the XFL? Because I could imagine they can't afford to not have fans come to their games right now, especially with what's going on.
That's a great point, Clarence. They're not in the financial position of an NBA or an NFL. So it is going to be interesting, and it's a shame. I would have loved to bring this up to Brian Michael Cooper when he joined us the other day, the president of the Roughnecks. But, yeah, very unfortunate circumstance. They're in New York this weekend, and then they come home after that for another home game. So they do have a little time, but time is of the essence, and he brings up a great point.
It is because of the infancy of the league. Mm-hmm. The problem is, you know, when leagues like this start, I think MLS did this as well, no one owned a team, right? And then it eventually evolved and grew enough to where you can own
private ownership
an MLS team. And that's the whole goal, I would imagine, for the XFL. So now I guess this is all on one guy or one investment group to to kind of incur all the costs and all the hits and all the economic impacts that comes along with this coronavirus. They obviously did not want this in their first season back.
No.
But you better have some deep pockets if you want to.
Yeah,
you know.
Obviously in a different financial situation than it looked like the AAFL was, right? You're avoiding what the financial problems they had, but as good as it's been rolling, completely out of your control, couldn't have seen this coming, and then look what, lo and behold, this could actually be the demise of the league.
Yeah, that sucks. That sucks because they were doing so well and stadiums were filling, and you know, we know the Roughnecks had good attendance. Yeah. We can say that for Houston's team for sure.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But a good call, a good point by Clarence. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I've been telling you about them for a long time. I made the switch about 3.5 years ago. I re-upped with them because honestly, they've saved me thousands of dollars off my previous energy provider. They can do the same for you. P. Randizzle and lots of the suspects got on board with Infuse Energy. He just tweeted last week he had the lowest energy bill he's ever had thanks to Infuse Energy. You can get on board and do the same thing. Go to InfuseEnergy.com or better yet, call them 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. If you mention ESPN 97.5, right off the top, you get a $25 bill credit on your first bill, and they go from there. They ask you questions so they can identify when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business? Is it for your family? And then they eventually get you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. Most times, that's going to be better than anybody else out there. Sometimes, in the rare occasion that there's a company out there that can beat their prices, they're going to let you know that too, because they want to be like a trusted friend. Someone that you know is not going to pull the wool over your eyes, is going to tell you the truth the way you need it. They're so good at customer service. They have a 5 out of 5 star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. That's the best you can get. So you know you're getting good quality customer service from a great company. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry out, Nick in, a cast of thousands, or a handful or so, helping us out on the suspects today, including Juggalo Trey behind the glass. Got himself a fresh autograph from Mario Ellie on that Rockets throwback hat.
I'm hyped.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, got that autograph.
Got that done. Look, other news from around the city. We talked yesterday about the fact that the Texans signed Kaimi Fairbairn to a ridiculous contract to make, I think now he's the third highest paid kicker in the league.
I saw that.
Fells, their tight end, is back on a more reasonable deal. Now word comes out of from NFL Update and others, the Texans and veteran cornerback Jonathan Joseph have mutually agreed that Joseph will enter free agency. He's been with the team since 2011. The only thing I don't like about this is the wording that they've mutually agreed that he'll enter free agency, because that means there's still a chance he could come back. I don't want him back. They should have gotten rid of him a couple years ago. Look, he was once a hell of a player. You and I were talking about this before the show. That's all fine and dandy, but they got to move on from J.J. His contract was too much. He had lost 3 steps, and this is just a move where that had to happen.
Put some respect on J.J.'s name, man. He's the all-time leader in interceptions for the franchise at 17 passes. Mm-hmm. Interception return yards at 410. He leads the franchise in net. I mean,
you know what he gets?
He's an amazing player.
He was an amazing player.
No, he certainly lost.
You know what he gets? He gets a little polo shirt that says Houston Texans ambassador, and he can sign autographs before games on the concourse.
Well, you know what? Regardless of whether or not he can go and field offers and see if he can use that as some leverage for the Texans, or he can't use that against the Texans and the Texans sign him again on a small deal or affordable deal, he is definitely the face of longevity, right? I mean, he
had a hell of a career.
He had a long career, and I think most people in that position would love to play as long as he did.
Absolutely. And hats off to him on a great career. But look, for where he is in his career, where the Texans are in their progression, I just don't see that.
But you're right. I'd be worried that they sign him again, too.
And that divorce should have been over, like I said, a year or two earlier. But with all the financial limitations they have, and we know Watson and Tunsil's deals are coming, they got to get those done. They obviously, with Roby up in the air, And now with Joseph gone, they've got to figure out what they're going to do at corner. And I don't know that there are going to be many more players looking for those one-year prove-it deals like they got Roby on a year ago and some of the guys they've gotten in the past. So lots of difficulties coming for the Texans and general manager Bill O'Brien. Going to be interesting to see the way they handle it.
I heard Carlos Hyde also just declined his new contract too.
I mean, he may have some leverage, though. He'll probably have more leverage than Jonathan Joseph at the minimum, right?
Yeah, Carlos Hyde's a guy that I think from the get-go was on that one-year prove-it deal. Proved it. But because you've already given up a draft pick to get a Duke Johnson, and it's going to be, you know, him eyeing, I need to at least make Duke Johnson money, and I don't know the Texans are willing to do that. I saw that one of the things that was suggested, if indeed Carlos Hyde goes and explores what else is out there for him, that David Johnson of the Cardinals may be a guy that they could get in a trade. But he's making a substantial amount of money, too. So I just don't know, without really making some hard decisions on some of the big contracts they already have, and we talked about this yesterday, when you're talking about a franchise that has the third highest paid kicker in the league, that has a Nick Martin to go along with a Whitney Mercilus, both in the top six at their position in the league. Then the massive deal for J.J. Watt. And to know that the big, big, big deals for their position group coming for Tunsil and for Deshaun, which is going to be a monster deal, at some point you got to find some way to get some money back so you have some money to pay draft picks and otherwise.
Yeah, you got to. I think if you're going to go with the affordable approach, don't necessarily go with a guy that's aged. You know, I'd rather deal with the prove it to me approach and give somebody who's young a 1 year deal than give a veteran who's may have lost a step and hoping he didn't lose it too much in one season. I'd rather do that than give someone like Jonathan Joseph.
So I don't want Jonathan Joseph back, but I want Chris Harris Jr. Like I want Chris Harris Jr.
I'm okay with that.
And Chris
sure.
Harris Jr. is not coming here on a 1 year deal. He's going to say, I've already been there, done that, proved it.
He's going to field the offers
yeah.
for sure.
And because he played with Roby in Denver, you could probably have a better chance of bringing Roby back if you could play with the guy he's comfortable playing with. But Roby on that 1 year deal proved it and now is basically saying, I'm going to go somewhere else to get a long term deal.
Yeah. That's the problem the Texans have. I think there's too much talent on this team to go with someone who's older. So I'm okay with, like, if you're trying to find someone that perhaps not many people believe in, I actually appreciate that approach more. I don't necessarily want you to go and find someone that has experience just because you couldn't find anything. And sometimes that will require them to look at that talent pool quicker than they normally would. You know, they can't just sit there and hold, especially if they're trying to sign, like you said, trying to leave some money over to sign other people that, you know, might cost them a lot more money. So you can never, you know, not consider that. But look, J. Joe, he had a run. I don't think he's going to come back to the Texans this time. I know there's a possibility. I have your same fear. I just don't think he's going to be a Texan.
Well, and I hope not. Like I said, I mean, great run, but I really hope not. But to your point, Nick, I think when you look at what they've had, and you're saying I'd rather go with younger guys, but they also already made the commitment to younger guys. They traded for Gerrion Conley, right? So they went that route to try. They picked up the kid from Tampa Bay that has already gone. So they've tried some of the younger guys that came in with a lot of fanfare and said former first round picks, you know, guys that got, you know, that got big deals from other teams. We're going to try and take these young guys and see if it's just a change of scenery. That hasn't worked out either. But we know that if they don't figure out their secondary in short order, no matter what they have offensively with Deshaun and the weapons that they have, they're not going anywhere, and they're being limited by Bill O'Brien's contracts and the way he's putting guys on the roster at big deal.
Well, I mean, we know Barry jumped ship, but we'll just see if Bill O'Brien, as the, you know, official general manager, makes a difference. He's given up play-by-play calls. We'll see if that actually happens, and we'll see if this dynamic helps to where he can kind of pinpoint the roster that he's always been able to get the roster that he wants, but he probably has, if he's really given up the play-by-play calls, he probably has a better chance of molding the roster and paying more attention to it.
Well, I hope
if
so.
If he's really not being pulled in 17 and a half directions.
But you think about it, Gerrion Conley you traded for, right? You bring in Hargraves, and neither one of the guys looked like they could live up to any of the billing they had when they came out of college. So now you look and say, well, what are the veterans out there that we can sign? Well, we also have to have the money to sign them, because it's one thing as general manager Bill O'Brien to give up the draft picks and way too many draft picks to get, Kenny Stills along with Tunsil in that package. But as part of the deal, and I kept saying this, you had to sign Tunsil to a long-term deal. Because you didn't, now his price tag just went way up. Yeah. And you basically have to give him a blank check. Because if you don't re-sign him and he walks and you gave up all those picks, you look even worse.
I know. And you've been mentioning this for a long time, the whole Laremy Tunsil situation. I don't know why they were okay with that. I feel like the front office, I don't know if they feel like they missed the boat there, or they're just like, okay, we get this as a gamble and we're going to go ahead and approve it and let Bill O'Brien make this decision. I don't know why you would do that. You know he's going to come in demand. You know he's going to come in demand. He's good enough to do so. Even if you're a middle of the pack and at that position, or even lower, sometimes you come in demand.
Yeah, he's going to get his. So upwards of $20 million a year coming for Tunsil. I mean, Deshaun literally is going to be between 35 and 40, depending on who the last quarterback signed is before his deal is done. He's going to be want to be in that same echelon as the top quarterbacks in the league. So you're looking at close to 60 mil for those two guys alone. That's a load of money.
Yeah.
That's a tough deal. All right, we got plenty more to get to in the final hour of the show. We'll update you on some of the headlines for the day in sports because, as we mentioned, the Warriors are going to play the Nets without fans in the Chase Center in the Bay Area. Now the Mariners will not play games in Seattle in the month of March. The coronavirus and the, I guess the, what is it, the World Health Organization has called it a pandemic. Whatever you call it, it's getting worse by the day. We'll talk about it next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
That?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.